And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. I am Rob West. Jesus told his followers to be wary of materialism, but we're all guilty of it from time to time, wasting money on things we don't really need. I'll talk about six of them today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, before we get into the specific money wasters, there's a general principle you should be aware of. If you're buying things that provide only a temporary sense of satisfaction, you're probably wasting money. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's not a necessity and you grow bored with it, it was a waste of money. Check your closets for examples. Now, I'm not saying you should take a vow of poverty. The Lord wants us to enjoy the resources he's given us, but that must be tempered by the principle that we're merely stewards and we need to use his resources wisely. But of course, we live in a culture that promotes spending. It's a big problem. One survey showed that the average adult spends around $1,500 a month on non-essentials. No wonder so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Imagine what that kind of money would do if it were put into savings or invested for retirement. All right, let's look at our six money wasters for today and what you can do about them. The first is one of the biggest, but also one of the easiest to fix, not preparing your own meals. It's okay to eat out occasionally, but too often it's just for convenience and not really necessary. By some estimates, a restaurant-prepared meal will cost you three times what you would pay for the same meal cooked at home. Money waster number two, upgrading your smartphone as soon as a new one comes out. For example, the iPhone 15 could cost you as much as $1,600 or lock you into a long contract if your carrier provides it. Eventually, a smartphone will have to be replaced, but the longer you delay upgrading, the more money you keep in your pocket. This year's red-hot phone is next year's discount model. And you have to ask, just how smart does your phone need to be? Most of us don't use the features we have now. Okay, number three, clothing is another biggie. Wearing the latest fashion is expensive. By some estimates, the average American spends nearly $2,000 a year on clothing. And in a few months, whatever you buy will probably be out of fashion. Clothes do wear out and need to be replaced, so you have to include that in your budget. But those spending decisions should be practical, not a way to boost your ego. Money waster number four, buying lottery tickets. The ads say you can't win if you don't play, but that's nonsense. You definitely will win if you don't play. You'll get to keep your money. You have better odds of being hit by lightning twice than winning the lottery. Plus, you don't want to participate in something that disproportionately hurts the poor. A Bankrate report found that low-income households spend as much as 13% of their income on lottery tickets, far more than higher-income earners. Okay, number five, extended warranties, especially for automobiles. It's now a $40 billion a year industry, and it's really just an expensive form of insurance that you probably won't need. So instead of buying an extended warranty, do your homework to make sure you're buying a quality item to begin with. Most will have an adequate manufacturer's warranty anyway. And then make sure you have enough money in your emergency fund to cover any repairs you might need to make. And our number six big money waster is your cable or streaming package. If you're still paying for cable, it could be as much as $200 a month for internet and TV. Do you really need 568 channels? More and more folks are dropping cable and satellite TV and using only streaming apps. But even there, you can waste a lot of money. A new survey by Finance Buzz showed that a quarter of households have at least three more streaming apps than they had 2 years ago. And 1 in 10 reported they have no idea how much they're spending on streaming. So, keep track of what you're watching, and if you're not getting your money's worth from an app, drop it. That's one great thing about streaming apps. No service contract, drop it anytime you like. Okay, those are your six big-time money wasters. I hope you find this helpful. And by the way, the best way to identify how you're doing in each one of these categories is to live on a spending plan, and the FaithFi app can help with that. You can download it on our website at faithfi.com. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. When God feels near, these are inspiring words from Psalm 25. But on your darkest night, they can feel impossible to even whisper. How do you trust God when the story of your life isn't written the way you'd hoped? How do you trust His grace if your life is unraveling at the edges? Maybe the best thing you can do today is just echo the words of the man who came to Jesus and said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." And if so, that's okay. Weak faith is still faith. So come to Jesus today and lift up your soul to Him. You can start receiving Anchor Devotional in print monthly at anchortoday.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, do you have a small group? Are you regularly looking for a biblical study to go through, something that is relevant to your life that'll take you deep into the scriptures? Well, our brand new study here at FaithFi called Rich Toward God is a 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool. I just had a chance to teach through the study, and it was just so much fun to really talk about how money can compete with our hearts and how this really profound parable from Jesus, right at the end of his earthly ministry, as he's heading into Jerusalem for the last time and he's approached to settle an inheritance dispute, he flips the script and really deals with the heart issue and talks about what true abundance is. And through this parable of the rich fool, challenges some of our thinking around where we find fulfillment and how we can allow the things of this world to compete with our devotion for God. And then he finishes with this really profound idea of being rich toward God, and it explores what that means. If you'd like to check it out, again, it's a 4-week study, beautifully designed, and you can order your copies today at faithfi.com. Just click shop and check it out. Let's dive in today with our first caller, Ty Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Sure.
I have a question that relates to my mom passed away this past August, and I inherited the house. It's valued at probably right now $373,000. I do have a small equity loan on it, taking care of mom while she was alive. My question is, what is my best option? Is renting the house or selling the house? I really don't want to be a landlord at 77 years old.
Sure.
So I was just wondering if you could give me some advice.
Yeah. Well, I'd be happy to, Ann. I mean, I like both options because I like real estate as an investment a lot. But you're right. I mean, that was going to be my first question is, do you want to be a landlord? And you're saying the answer to that is no. Now, does that automatically disqualify you? No, you could hire a property management company to take care of the property for you. And that would add some expense, but it would deal with the headaches of, you know, now the renter's calling them in the middle of the night. And, you know, they're the ones maintaining it. And when they move out and it needs repairs before the next tenant comes in, they're going to take care of that. And so that can take a lot of that stress off. Where is the property located?
It's in Gotha, right out of Ocoee. Right here. In our land area.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you're obviously very familiar with what's going on with, you know, homeowners insurance there in the state of Florida.
This is
not without its cost. Now, they're not making any more Florida real estate either, and so it's a very desirable place to live. But I guess I would say if you feel like you'd like to just, you know, take the proceeds, split it among any other heirs, and invest it in a more passive investment, that wouldn't be a bad idea. But again, as a part of a diversified investment strategy, if owning a piece of real estate is a way for you to diversify, again, despite the costs and homeowners insurance and so forth, Florida real estate has done well, will probably continue to do well, as long as you get the right people in there to help you maintain it and take care of it, then, you know, I could go either way. I think it ultimately comes down to, number one, kind of what are your goals during this season of life? And even if you had a rental company, property management company, does that add more complexity that you're not looking for? And then number two, financially speaking, how does this fit into the other investable assets that you have? And does it make sense in light of your overall financial plan? And perhaps having an advisor help you to evaluate that. But apart from that, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong decision here if you don't need the money, because this is an investment just like, you know, a stock and bond investment. They're just different in terms of how hands-on they are and their long-term performance. Does that make sense?
Yes. I understand hiring somebody to take that. But I just did some work on mom's house, you know, getting it back up to standard shape, you know, to make it look better. So my concern is I didn't want to have to constantly maintain the house and, you know, have somebody come in and destroy it or whatever, you know. That was one of my concerns.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you on that. Well, I'm kind of hearing in your voice, Ann, that it would just kind of take a load off you to know that this has been sold. And, you know, with real estate prices being what they are, we're not in a recession. We could be later this year or next year. Does that mean we're in a bubble with the housing market? No, I don't think you'd see any kind of major declines. But clearly, we're at a very, you know, high end with real estate, especially in Florida. So this might be a great time for you just to go ahead and sell it. See this as a wonderful gift from your mom as the steward and ultimately from the Lord. And then perhaps place that money, whatever portion is yours, with an advisor to invest it. And you could take as little or as much risk as you want, but it would be truly passive. And it sounds like that may take a load off of you just emotionally by doing that. Would you agree?
Yes, I think it would.
Yeah.
As far as investing, do you have any answers to what would be the best way to go?
Well, I think, you know, you would have to develop a plan with an advisor that considers your age, your goals, your risk tolerance, all of those things. But I think probably just a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, maybe with a small allocation to gold, that's managed on your behalf where you have full visibility into what's happening. But, you know, somebody else is making those decisions, I think would be the way to go. So I'd head to our website if you don't have an advisor and connect with a certified Kingdom advisor at faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. That's faithfi.com. But it sounds like to me, just based on hearing you talk through it, that would give you some peace of mind and it would give you some additional assets that you don't have to think about, but in terms of the management of the property, but could be growing for the future. Thanks for your call today. Quickly to Huntington, Indiana. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How can I serve you?
I'm asking your opinion on paying on a mortgage half on the first and half on the 15th to save over the length of the time of the mortgage.
Yeah, are you talking about a biweekly where you would do every 2 weeks, so 26
yes, sir.
Payments, half payments a year? Or are you just talking
yes,
about
right.
the same 12 payments just split into 20, you know, into 24? Do you see what, do you understand the difference? Because if you do the biweekly,
yeah, well,
you're doing it every 2 weeks. If you do it on the 1st and the 15th, you're not doing the biweekly because you end up with the same number of payments over a year.
Well, but if you pay on the 1st, and of the, if your payment comes up on the first and you've already paid the previous payment and you pay half then on the first and pay half on the 15th, over a 30-year loan, you can take off 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, and typically the way that works is, I mean, unless they're going to apply that intra-month, my experience is the way you knock off the 5 to 6 years is you pay every 2 weeks, which is a total of, there's 26 2-week periods in a year. That's 13 payments. So by paying every 2 weeks, you end up paying a full extra payment a year. And doing that over a 30-year mortgage is going to knock the 5 or 6 years off, not paying on the 1st and the 15th and ending up paying only the same 12. So I think if you're going to do this to get that savings, you need to go every 2 weeks. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Well, delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing God owns it all. We're stewards, so money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Money is, keep in mind, morally neutral. It's a blessing. It was created by God to be used for good works, to enjoy, to provide for our families, to be able to create memories, to be able to support the needs of others, and to give generously. It's when we make the object of our affection money and the things that money can buy, when we align our hearts toward the pursuit of wealth only for wealth's sake. Well, that's when we can get awry. But when we see it as a blessing and we use it in the way it was intended, well, it can accomplish all kinds of good. And as to scripture, it can be enjoyed. And that's the way we want to encourage you today as you think about the practical decisions and choices you're making. All right, let's dive in today. We'll begin in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Jennifer. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, you're very welcome.
Oh, thank you. My daughter, who is 19, is looking to purchase a car this week. She has found the car that she likes. It has very low mileage. We've had a mechanic take a look at it, and he says it's good to go. She has the finances to purchase the car outright. But because she's 19, she doesn't have much credit. So my husband and I were thinking that maybe she should only put half down instead of paying for the whole thing and then establish credit. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this one. You know what? I love the idea of her paying it in cash. And for two big reasons. Number one, it just starts her off at this very early age of understanding the importance of delayed gratification, saving, and eventually buying what we can afford with cash and not using debt to fund purchases. Obviously, I would imagine she's worked very hard, unless she got this money as a gift, to put this money away. It sounds like she's done a lot of legwork to find a great car. As you said, low miles. I love the fact that you all got it checked out by an independent mechanic. And so I'd love for her to make this first major purchase completely debt-free as the fruit of her labors. Secondly, I don't think there's any reason for the sake of building credit to pay a dime of interest, especially when you don't have to. There are other ways, Jennifer, for her to build credit. We can talk about some of those, but you know, taking out a loan specifically for the purpose of building credit, even though I understand at age 19, she has a lack of credit at this point, and that will come to bear in certain situations. This is not the way to do it. So how then do you build credit? Well, one option would be she could get what's called a secured credit card, where she would put a certain amount on deposit, let's say $500. They would then issue a $500 credit line against it. She could set up to spend, for one purchase a month, let's say a budgeted item that she's already planning on spending. It hits the card, she pays it off, and then it's reported to the bureau each month as being an on-time payer. That's going to help her build credit. If you wanted to take it another step, you could add her as an authorized user to one of your accounts. You don't have to give her the card to use, but she would inherit all of your credit from that point forward. Now, that runs both ways. If you all had a missed payment, that would hurt her. But if you're, you know, timely in your payments and you don't carry balances that are, you know, certainly above 30% of your limit, if you do, I wouldn't do this. But if you're paying it in full every month, you know, that would be one way you all could help her establish credit. There are other vehicles, you know, something called a credit builder loan where she's paying interest, but she's paying it to herself. That would be another way that she could go about this. So there are ways it will happen over time as she, you know, is out there just following good money management practices like she already is. But paying any interest, especially with these high interest rates right now, is not the way that I do it. Does that make sense?
It does. And she does have a secure credit card right now. She's had that for about 6 months, and she has been on our credit card probably for about 2 years now.
Okay. All right. What is her credit score at this point?
That I don't know.
Okay. It might be higher than you think. I mean, is she out looking for a loan? Obviously, she's going to have a newer, at least new to her, automobile. I would imagine she's not buying a home anytime soon. So does she even really need a good credit score at this point?
Probably not. We've just always just thought that, you know, having that monthly payment for establishing credit. But if you're saying that it's best not to do that, that's why we're making the phone call.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And it's a great question. I can understand why you might want to consider it. But I think in this case, you know, that it's not worth it to go about that. That's where, again, if you wanted, you know, you pulled the credit score, and that might be the next step. Maybe you go to Credit Karma or you go to annualcreditreport.com and just actually take a look at what her credit score is. In this season of life for her, the only place this is, could possibly work against her is, you know, if she goes to get a job and they check her credit. But again, they're typically looking for something that's awry. A lack of credit would typically not be a way or a reason they would stand in the way of giving her the job, at least at this age. And then perhaps if she wanted to go get an apartment, they pulled credit, they were looking at her credit score, and, you know, that was a reason. But ultimately, I don't think it's really going to harm her in any way at this point. She's doing all the right things. And again, this credit builder loan, you know, could be another way that you could go about this where, you know, you actually pay monthly installments. It's reported to the bureau. And then what you'd be looking for is where the lender returns that interest to you at the end. But again, I would probably just say, let's just stay on the track you're on with the authorized user for yours and with her using that secured credit card. You might find that once she's ready for it, she could actually go ahead and get approved at this point for, you know, a card that's unsecured, specifically that caters to students and younger borrowers. But I think you guys are doing all the right things here, Jennifer. But I wouldn't go to the level of paying any interest to build that credit score. Go ahead and check that, though. You might be surprised it's higher than you think. Thanks for your call today. Back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources. The King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Jill. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Good. I was just calling because my husband is retired. I work part-time. We have about $125,000 in an IRA, and I'm wondering if I should pull some of that out for an emergency fund to put in our savings, because we don't have a lot of in savings.
Yeah. What did you say your age is? And if not, would you mind
My husband is 67, and will be 65 this year, 64.
Okay. And are either of you still working?
I work part-time.
You work part-time. Okay. And so what are you all living on other than your part-time income?
Just his income. He's retired. And then our house is paid for. Our cars are paid for. We just basically pay for heat and utility and electric.
Okay, great. And is he living on Social
Security?
And is his income in retirement Social Security alone or something else?
Social Security alone.
Okay, got it. And with his Social Security plus your part-time income, are you also collecting Social Security, or are you waiting on that?
I'm waiting.
Okay. And what is your plan there? When would you think you might take that?
I haven't decided for sure. I'm thinking maybe when I'm 65.
Okay.
But possibly 67. I'm not real sure on that yet.
Okay. And with his Social Security and your part-time income, do you guys typically have anything left over at the end of the month?
Yes, we do.
What would you say on average you have at the end of the month?
I'm going to guess probably 600.
Okay. Yeah. And so where has that been going, given that you've only got, you know, 1,000 in savings? Has that just kind of been finding its way into extra things, or is that a new?
Right, doing things at the house. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We went on vacation.
All right. Sure. No, I get it. It adds up quickly.
Uh-huh.
How long are you planning to continue to work part time, for kind of the foreseeable future? Or are you looking at when you take Social Security for you to kind of fully retire? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking either, I'm hoping to last until 67 is what I'm hoping.
Okay.
To continue to work part time.
Yeah. And will your Social Security be the same, more or less than your part time income? Do you have a feel for that?
It'll be more.
Okay, great. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I love that you all are living modestly, you're debt-free. I love that you're letting that Social Security continue to grow. I'll tell you, if you could wait even until age 70 or every year beyond, full retirement age, that benefit you're expecting at full retirement age is going to grow by 8% a year. So if you waited an extra 3 years, and I realize that's all I'm asking a lot, so you need to prayerfully consider that as you and your husband talk through this, but you could end up with a check 25% higher than even you're expecting. But the idea would be that if you can get that check up as high as you can, that the combination of those two would allow you all to live kind of well within your means. I would keep this $125,000 invested. Is it in stocks and bonds right now, or what is it invested in?
It's in stocks and bonds.
Okay. So I
was also going to ask if you thought about diversifying into gold, like a gold IRA, any of it?
Yeah, I like gold. I mean, obviously, it's up here near record highs just because of all the uncertainty and so many other things swirling right now economically. It's more of a fear trade. It doesn't have any income, and it tends to be more volatile, even though the long-term performance has been fairly good. But I wouldn't overweight there. So I would say on a $125,000 portfolio, you'd want somewhere, you know, around 5%. Which would be about 6,200 up to 12,000, maybe 13,000 in gold, probably no more than that. And you could buy that inside the IRA without taking anything out through one of the gold tracker ETFs. So there's exchange traded funds that have gold in a vault behind them, but you're buying them like a stock, and it just follows the price of an ounce of gold. So as gold rises, the price of that ETF rises. That's a way for you to have some exposure to gold inside a properly diversified portfolio, but I wouldn't go more than 10% for sure. I like the idea of you leaving that money there. I would rather you not take it out just to set it in savings, because here's the reality. If you all had an emergency, an unexpected expense, you can get to that money pretty quickly by immediately placing a trade, liquidating a position, and, you know, having them send you a check. And so you can get access to it. But I would rather you prioritize, okay, let's see if we can get this $600 a month up to $750, because we're going to really dial into our spending plan. We're going to really watch how much we're eating out, and, you know, whatever it is that tends to be your budget buster. And let's see if out of your surplus each month, you could get that up to 3 months' expenses as a first goal. Well, that's probably just based on your modest lifestyle, maybe $6,000. So, you know, maybe that's, if you do $6,000, you've already got $1,000 right now. So we're trying to save $5,000. And let's say you're putting $750 a month. I mean, 6 months from now, you're pretty much there. And you haven't touched the IRA. You leave it invested, and now you're funding your emergency savings out of surplus cash flow. 6 months after that, maybe you're at a full, 6 months worth of expenses in the bank. That would be my better approach. Then we're leaving that money in a tax-deferred environment for the future. If you all need it down the road for long-term care or a major expense, you're not creating additional taxable income through that withdrawal, and you're funding the emergency fund out of surplus. That would be the ideal situation. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And you don't think they're going to take Social Security away by the age of 70?
No,
that's
I don't.
I
mean,
about,
yeah, I get it. So 2035, it's going to, if nothing changes, run out. At that point, they'd be able to pay 70% of benefits. Is that going to happen? There is just, I can't imagine, because it's just too much of a political issue for any elected official not to allow Social Security to continue. What's probably going to happen is we're going to see higher FICA taxes, which are the taxes that fund Social Security, and we're probably going to see that full retirement age continue to move out. But I think they'll find those levers to pull that allow us to shore up Social Security, just because nobody wants to pull that rug out from under voters. We appreciate your call, Jill. All the best to you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, if you'd like to find a financial professional in your area, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. This is the only industry-accepted designation in the financial services world around biblically wise financial advice. There's more than 1,500 of these men and women across the United States, and they've met high standards in character and competence and training to bring you a biblical perspective of financial decision-making at a professional level. Plus, they've had a pastor, client reference, and annual continuing education. You'll find a CKA in your city when you head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA, find a professional is what it says right there at the top of the page, and you can find a list right there in your city. Check it out today, faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. All right, back to the phones. This is our final segment. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Terry. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And my question is, how do you know how much you need at retirement? My husband and I, he's 55 and I'm 57, and he's planning on working probably for the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some rules of thumb, and we could start with those, and that's all they are. They're just kind of a basic flyover of where you might want to be. But I wouldn't put too much stock in that. And then there's retirement planning, where you actually go through and say, okay, what is my lifestyle today? How much am I spending to fund my lifestyle? And when I get to retirement, how might that change? So for instance, if you all are on track to be debt-free, either now or between now and retirement, that would take, you know, a major expense or expenses off the table, because maybe you're not paying a mortgage any longer. You know, often we live on 70 to 80% of our pre-retirement income in retirement. And so normally the way we would do it is say, okay, Social Security was never intended to cover more than 40% of your pre-retirement income at best. And so typically what you would do is you'd say, okay, if I have 10 to 12 times my pre-retirement income in my savings, in my retirement account. So if you're making $75,000 a year, you know, you'd want somewhere between $750,000 and $900,000 in your retirement account. And then at 4% a year, you know, that would give you $36,000 a year that you could pull out of it. That's generally kind of the rule of thumb on what you can take out in retirement and maintain the balance. So you'd never deplete it. And then eventually you could give it away as an inheritance or to a charity or ministry. But that $36,000 is, you know, when added to Social Security, should get you back up to, you know, somewhere between 80%, maybe even a little bit more of your pre-retirement income, which in my example was $75,000. So that kind of makes that goal alongside Social Security 10 to 12 times your income. Now, where should you be at along the way? Well, if we kind of back that down at age 55, you'd typically be somewhere between 5 and 8 times your salary saved as a benchmark toward your ultimate goal of 10 to 12 times your income saved. Now, a lot of people look at that, Terry, and say, wait a minute, I'm not anywhere close to that. Okay, that's all right. Let's start where you are. Let's limit your lifestyle. Let's prioritize saving. Let's do it in a way that where we're seeking the Lord, realizing that our trust is in Him. And, you know, He may lead you to save an entirely different amount, you know, because He may have different plans for you. I mean, maybe you're going to sell everything and go overseas to serve the Lord in, you know, in your next season of life. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But at least as a starting point, that's one way to try to get to what's an appropriate goal that has some rationale to it that assumes we're going to, you know, be living on less in that season of life for the reasons I mentioned, and we want to maintain our standard of living at that point. And obviously, if you want to change it one way or the other, that's going to affect that. But does that all make sense?
It does. Yes.
Okay. So again, it's not intended to scare you, because if you're not anywhere close to that, that's okay. Let's start where you are. Let's make a plan. And at the end of the day, it's really about, first of all, Lord, what would you have for us? What lifestyle have you called us to? What does that season of life look like? Our service to the Lord never ends. So we need to be asking Him, Lord, what do you have for us in that season of life? And then, you know, ultimately it's going to lead you to what do we need to fund our expenses? You know, recognizing that it's probably going to be somewhat less than what we're spending now, although there's different expenses in that season of life. And probably the biggest additional cost could be the prospect of long-term care, you know, which can obviously run anywhere from $5,000 a month to $10,000 a month, depending on, you know, what your needs are. So there's just a lot to think about. And that's not, you know, something we should be anxious about. I think we need to ultimately give that to the Lord. But it does say that we should, you know, be prioritizing having margin, exercising self-discipline so we have surplus every month so that we can, you know, save appropriately with the Lord's leading. So hopefully that helps you, Terry. We really appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Hi. So I just inherited about $102,000. I am currently unemployed because my husband was ill. I had to take care of him. And we have a minor daughter. And it's just basically sitting there in the bank for about a month, and I just don't know how to invest it. And yes, just would like to know how I could get an income from that.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about just kind of the current status of things. You said your husband was ill.
He passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jay. Okay.
Thank you.
And so what are you all living on right now?
I was basically living from his paycheck that he received, and okay. I just started receiving Social Security a few days ago.
Okay.
So that's basically it.
Yes. So right now your income sources are the Social Security, survivor's benefits, and potentially whatever you might draw out of this $100,000. Is that right?
Yes.
Is the Social Security for you and your child enough to cover your expenses, or are you running short each month?
Yes, it is. However, I have to, like, do strict budgeting.
Yes. No, I certainly understand that. All right. And then are you working or do you have the ability to work at this point?
I have the ability to work. I'm still of working age. I'm, like, just in my mid-40s.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think the key here is if you can continue to work, you know, do you all have any other investment accounts or savings, anything beyond the $100,000 you received?
No.
Okay. Yeah. And so I think the goal at this point is number one, to get, you know, to set aside a portion that we'll call your emergency fund. So I think you'd probably want to take whatever is equivalent to 6 months worth of expenses, leave it right there in savings. The rest of it, you probably want to start investing it. And unless there's something major coming up that you can see on the horizon, like, you know, I have a car, it's on the last legs and I know I'm going to need to replace it. Or, you know, we've got a major repair we just can't put off any longer. Then obviously we'd want to add that there because we don't want to invest anything that we don't have at least a 10-year time horizon on. But apart from the emergency savings and your known kind of more immediate expenses, like let's say in the next 3 years, I think the next step is to take the rest of that $100,000 and get it working for you. In fact, I'd be trying to systematically move it over into a retirement account so it's growing on a tax-deferred basis, either by, you know, overfunding as much as you can a 401k if you were to go get a job and have one available to you, even if that meant you had to pull some out of that excess savings so that you're shifting it into a tax-deferred environment and then get it invested in a stock and bond mutual fund. And then if you could go back to work and make that, you know, work with the care of your minor child, then the goal would be let's not touch that $100,000. Let's cover your bills out of Social Security and your working income. And then let's, you know, start continuing to fund retirement accounts and, you know, so that you can have something more substantial down the road, maybe 20 years from now, that, you know, can supplement your Social Security for you to live on, you know, as you need. So that would be the ideal situation. Does all that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So what I would do now is reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area there in Florida. You can go to our website, faithfi.com, click find a professional at the top of the page. And I think, you know, that would get you pointed in the right direction. They could also help you manage that money. Thank you for your call. Quickly to Tennessee, Marjorie, I just have less than 2 minutes. How can I help?
Okay. I'm going to be 65 in June. I don't really want to work to my full retirement. My job is very rewarding but very stressful. I have no credit card bills or anything additional to a mortgage and a car payment as far as the other just utility things. My car payment is about $400 a month, and I still owe about $18,000 on it. And I was wondering if it would be to my best interest, instead of taking my additional commission checks every month that I typically put in savings and put that toward paying the car off.
Yeah. What's the interest rate on it?
About $50,000. I don't remember, honestly. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
It's not and very high.
But these would be commission checks above your regular income.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how quickly do you think you could pay that off, the car off, if you did that?
I could probably pay that off by the end of the year.
Okay. And then all you'd have left would be the mortgage at that point?
That is correct.
Yeah. You know, I like
$175,000 in simple IRA.
Good. Okay, great. Yeah, I like that plan, Marge. I mean, obviously, I don't know a whole lot here other than what you just described, which was very helpful. But I think that's great because it gives you a goal. It's surplus income. Obviously, you're paying some interest on that. So you're going to get a guaranteed return on that money equal to that interest. And it sets you up so that your living expenses are $400 lower every month when you hit retirement, which you say is, you know, not too far down the road, Lord willing. So I think that's a great plan. I'd work as long as you can, grow that Social Security and build up your savings. But I do like this plan of paying off the car. Hey, thanks for calling today. Hey, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you. Thanks to my amazing team, Adam, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow as we round out the week. We'll look for you on another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.